Okay, today is Wednesday, May 2nd. This is the Chumashir. We are up to Bereshit, Perek Tet Zayin. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to the beginning of Perek Tet Zayin of Sefer Bereshit. We started, we read the first couple of psukim already when Sarai proposes to Avraham that on account of the fact that she was not privileged to have a child, she recommended that perhaps Avraham take Hagar and try to have a child, and she will build from her. Avraham listened, and he takes Hagar, the Shivchata, and she gets pregnant right away. And what happens is she, Hagar, starts ridiculing Sarah, claiming that obviously she's not such a righteous person, she's a phony. In private, in public, she's appears to be a tzadeket, and obviously privately God does not believe her, and therefore she hasn't been blessed with a child. She ridicules Sarah. She ridicules Sarah. And she came to Avram, did Sarai, and blamed him, saying, I gave my shivcha to you, and now I've become insignificant. I've been ridiculed in her eyes, and therefore I ask you, this is the last thing we did, Yishpot Hashem beini ubeinecha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge you and me, between you and me. May God seek to address my grievances that I have against you, not so much against Hagar, but I have against you. So what were the grievances that Sarai had against Avraham? Namely, that he didn't stick up for her. It is impossible that she should not have heard, that he could not have heard the way Hagar talks to her in that demeaning fashion, often ridiculing her. And Avram just sat there and let it happen. So she asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to what? To serve as the judge between herself and Avram. And in effect, she's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to punish Avram to some extent due to the fact that he acted inappropriately.
Well, to make him see.
But that assumption would be that Avram had no clue what was going on. And so all of the parshanim that we read said it's impossible that Avram would not have heard this. They weren't living in a 10 bedroom apartment. They were living in a tent, obviously close quarters. And under those circumstances, she blamed Avram. So now we're going to continue to see what Avram's response to Sarai is and what that leads to beyond that. So we're up to Perek Tet Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Vayomer Avram el Sarai. Hine shivchatech biyadech. This shivcha is under your control. Asila hatov be'enayich. Do whatever you please unto her. I couldn't care less. Vate'aneha Sarai. Sarai afflicted her. Vativrach mipaneha. And Hagar runs away. So this is a very critical pasuk. Very critical pasuk. So I'd like to see, how, what we always start with Rashi. Rashi does not comment on the fact that Avram says, "Hine shivchatech biyadech asila hatov be'inayich." He thinks it's very simple. But Rashi comments on Vateana Vateaneha Sarai, says Rashi, Haita Mishabedet Ba Bikoshi. She suddenly assigned very difficult tasks to Hagar, made her work incredibly hard. And through working incredibly hard, he afflicted her. We you know, inui is something that we got very used to it in Mitzrayim. That the afflictions that the Egyptians thrust upon us. So here, she is doing it to Hagar, and Hagar says, I've had enough of this, and she runs away. Runs away. However, other parshanim are a little more elaborate as to what's happening here and why Avram had to emphasize, Hine shifchateich biyadeich. Here is your shifcha in return. Well, what does that mean? Up until now, after Avram had relations with her, what could we have assumed she established? What type of relationship did she establish by coming on to Avram? That she's a wife. Good. So she gave Hagar as a wife. Well, as a wife, she's treated differently up until this particular time, as opposed to what? As opposed to a slave. So let's just imagine that in the interim, Hagar suddenly doesn't have to do any work. So who's going to do the laundry? So either they share the laundry or they split the cooking and that's it. but she's no longer assigned exclusively to Sarai. So what is happening there? What's now the response? Hine shifchateich biyadeich. What's the response of Avram in light of what I just said? She's okay. I never considered her as my wife. What is she? She has been a shifcha and she still is a shifcha. She's still legally owned by you. So do whatever you please. That's one possibility, yeah.
In the Haggadah, we say, "Zok prishat rabim." Is that done for inuakam? In other words, they would not let the men and the women be together.
That's correct.
So in this case, couldn't it be the same thing that Sarah won't let her near Avram again? She becomes pregnant the first night, and Sarah will not allow.
That's a possibility. I have that. It's an interesting possibility based on the analogy to the Haggadah. Here, I haven't seen anybody say that yet. Yeah?
I think when Sarah uses the word Hamas, that's a really strong word. It seems like almost like a pecking order. She's so angry that she's thinking about, she's going to make sure that the ship knows that's her place. And, you know, it's not like a right, we don't have that word too often, maybe, like, other than in Noah.
Mm-hmm. Well, here the word chamas does not mean anger. That's what a suf.
But
chamasi is that which you've stolen from
right,
me,
it's
embezzled
like,
me.
It's more than stealing. The only thing that comes like if she feels like completely violated.
Right, that's true. Yes. So take a look at the Radak on page number 1. The Radak elaborates and is crucial. Says the Radak, Vayomer, Avram said, Hinei shivchatech biyadech, Afal pi shishachra b'cheiki, even though she slept with me, shivchatech hi kibatchila. I never took her as anything other than what? As a slave. I never intended to what? To treat her as what? As my second wife. V'yesh lecha reshut aleha. You have authority over her. L'radota. To oppress her. Im tase elecha davar shelo kehogen. If she did something that was inappropriate unto you, you have the full right to respond to her. Why? Ki shifchatechi. She still legally is your shifcha. Urishuta biyadech. Velo tekabel mimeni kimo shetekabel mimcha. Vehinini mochel lecha kivodi. She will not what? Receive anything from me any longer, as was in the past, she received things from you. And don't worry, the fact that I lived with her is not going to hurt me. I'm moichel on my kavod, that you will be oppressing the woman who I slept with and impregnated. I'll be moichel. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It doesn't paint Abraham or Sarai in a very nice light. It does not paint them. And in fact, the Ramban and others will be very critical of both of their behaviors. We'll see in a second. Vate'aneha Sarai, I'm continuing the Radak, Asta imar ima yoter midai. She gave assignments unto Hagar well above and beyond that which is the norm. V'avda ba b'forech. That's the expression that is used in Mitzrayim. V'ya'avidu es b'nei Yisrael b'forech. With back-breaking labor. V'efshar, and says the Radak, it is even possible, shehaita maka'ota, that Sarah struck Hagar, hit her. Just the way we've pictured relationships of masters and slaves in, you know, pre-Civil War day in the United States. The Efshar, yeah, the umikalelet ota, and he would curse her. The lohaita yichola lizbol, and Hagar simply could not take it any longer. Ubarcha mipaneha, and she ran away. V'lo nohaga Sarai bazeh. Now Sarai's conduct in this regard, lo midat musar, v'lo midat chasidut. This was not ethical and moral on her part, and certainly not going above and beyond midat chasidut in the way you treat a person. And now he goes on to explain. Lo musar, ki afal pi she'Avraham machala al kivodo. Even though Avraham was willing to forego his own dignity and respect, ve'omar la, and he said to her, asi la hatov be'enayich, do whatever you please unto her, haya ra'ui la limshoch et yada, lichvodo velo la'anota, simply out of respect to Avraham, who now is living with her and having a child, is simply as respect unto Avraham. At the very least, she should treat Hagar with decency. So, for number one, Musar. So he's not as harsh on Sarai, based on what she did unto Hagar. What's Radak's concern? That it wasn't ethical and appropriate based on the fact that she owed Avram something to treat her appropriately. What about the fact that, forget about Avram in this picture. The Ramban's going to say, forget about Avram. Her behavior in and of itself is inappropriate. V'lo midat chasidut v'nefesh tovah. And she did not characterize or act in a manner which represents chasidut. Ki ein ra'ui le'adam la'asot kol yicholto bameh shetachat yado. Just because you have the opportunity, the authority, the power to do something, doesn't mean that you're supposed to act upon it. You're not supposed to do everything that you have the ability to do. Ve'omar hechacham, and the chacham once said, this happens to be, according to the notes, it's Rabbi Shlomo ben Ibn Gevirol, one of the contemporaries of the Radak, who said, Uma noe hamichila be'et hayicholet. How nice, how wonderful it is to what? To forgive and to forget if you have the ability to what? Take revenge. How appropriate it is to just be nice and not seek out the, if you don't have the ability to seek out the revenge because the person's going to clobber you, then you're not such a tzaddik. But if you have the ability to seek revenge and you don't, that's a wonderful characteristic. V'zeh she'asta Sarai. And Sarai's behavior, lo haya tov be'enei ha'el. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not pleased with her behavior. As it will be recorded in a couple of psukim, ki shama Hashem elonyech. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has responded to what? To your suffering. And because you suffered inappropriately for no reason whatsoever, veheshiv la bracha tachat anya. And God repaid her with a blessing, namely to have a child, rather than what? In place of the suffering that she suffered. Ve'avram lo mana sorai mila anota. Avram did not stop her, preclude her, from afflicting Hagar. Af al pi shahaya ra be'enav. Even though Avram found it displeasing, he wasn't happy with this. Is there anything in the text that you read thus far that Avram was indeed not pleased with this? Is there anything that you see here? Not really. Not really. So he's adding this, and why did Avram not say anything? Mishum shalom habayit. Because he doesn't want to get into a fight again with what? With Sarah. V'cholzeh ha-sipur nichtav ba-Torah. This entire episode has been recorded in the Torah. Liknot adam mimenu hamidot hatovot ulaharchik haraot. This entire episode is designed to teach us v'nish tzayin, how not to react, how not to behave. That's one. Don't use this as a model as to something to emulate, but quite the contrary. I want you to avoid this. Just one moment, second. Is there anything in Avram's behavior which would indicate that in general, Avram was the type of person who would not be pleased with this type of behavior? Is there anything in the Torah text? I know it doesn't appear here.
Stone.
What?
Stone.
Stone, okay. But something even more, something right, a very similar situation.
Well, the shepherds.
What?
The shepherds were fighting.
Oh, no.
When he tells Sarah to lie about being...
What?
When he tells Sarah to lie about being his sister, her... About
the
siblings being married?
No. After Yitzchak is born. Right? So what did Sarah want to do? What, at that time she was Sarah. What did she want to do after Yitzchak was born? What? Get rid of Yishmael. And what did she say? Send them away. And what does the Torah say? Vayera hadavar leAvraham al odot beno. Avram felt badly that his wife is making a suggestion to send away someone who's his own flesh and blood. And what does it have to happen? What has to happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come and say, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah shema b'kola. This time she's right, send them away. And we'll spend plenty of time on that when we get to it. But at least you see something in the text where Avram, and yes, Sodom as well, on several occasions, Avram reacts to inappropriate behavior. And therefore, Radak takes the liberty of inserting that here, that he allows Sarah to afflict Hagar, despite the fact that he personally is very much against it. Yeah.
Hagar is being tortured and really needs to work on. We keep on emphasizing life in Mitzrayim.
and she's carrying Avram's child.
That's correct.
The reason Avram's so upset about it is the same child that he gets upset about after Yitzchak.
Same child.
It's not born. So why isn't he just as upset now that his son could be hurt, or his child could be hurt?
Not born.
Okay. But you're asking, so you're asking, why did he allow it?
This time it was okay, but next time, even though they both have to do with Yishmael.
Okay, so right, the baby, but if the mother is suffering, what might happen to the child? The child, you know, you can lose the child. You could lose the child. So, therefore, based on the Radak, he answers your point. You're right that personally he would have summed something.
Why didn't somebody work for this one? Why wasn't that his reason now for when we just told
him? Okay, that's the better question.
Okay.
If this time Avram was silent due to Shalom Bayis, why next time when Sarah recommends that we send away, right? Suddenly Avram has to voice his objection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, listen to her. How come he didn't, you know, swallow it that time also because of Shalom Bayis? Not to get into a fight, yes.
He tells Sarai that she should do with Hagar what she wants, and then Sarai acts badly. So it doesn't say that Abraham, I mean, it happened first, he said do what you want. She hadn't acted badly until that time, so maybe he wouldn't have thought that she would have. And then after he gives her permission to do with her as she wishes, then she chooses to act badly. So there really wasn't a time for him to say something. It just doesn't mention it after that fact.
So why didn't though? Why wouldn't the Torah mention that once Vate'anaha Sarai, Sarah afflicts her, why didn't the Torah say? And Avram didn't like it. Why doesn't the Torah?
Because maybe Hagar went away at that time.
Okay. It's a possible. I'm not saying it's not possible. You know, we can draw the scenario any way we'd like because it doesn't say anything about it. But it's a possibility. Yeah. I would say most of the time it doesn't work, and that's why the second wife is always called Eitzara. That's the rabbinic nickname for a second wife, because it's bound to create problems. It has to. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Yeah, yeah. Ask why Torah allow it? I have no idea. I can't. I don't know. Don't know. Penina had 10 children.
And
had none. Right. Right, but that's true. That's true. That's a good point as well. That's a good point. Yeah. Now, if you look on that very same page, the Ramban says, Vate'aneha Sarai, Vatevrach Mipaneha, Chata imenu b'inui hazeh. Sarah was dead wrong, transgressed, sinned as a result of this affliction. V'gam Avraham b'hanicho la'asot Torah. And Avraham was wrong for what? For allowing her to do this. Vayishma Hashem elanya. God listened to her affliction. V'nasan lo bein. Sheyehe Pera Adam, she will have a child who we describe. There's no better translation in Yiddish. Avil Dechaya. That's the only way to translate Pera Adam. Le'anot Zera Avraham v'Sara b'chol minei ha'enui. He will ultimately afflict Avram's children, Avram and Sarai's children, with all types of afflictions. Chazal see Yishmael as the head, the patriarch of which great nation that afflicted us? The Romans. Second Beit HaMikdash destroyed by Rome. What? Yeah, Esav is also wrong, but Yishmael is also wrong. Second Beit HaMikdash. What? That could be. But don't forget, Esav married one of Bat Yishmael. So that's what he had. But the Ramban, as always, does not pull any punches and is willing to state Sarah and Avram were both wrong, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu held them accountable for their action. To put it a little more in a sharper perspective, if you go now to page 3 of the handout, and I want to show you the Orach Chaim. And this is a favorite gimmick of many commentators on the Chumash. And it has no legal basis whatsoever, but many commentaries try to establish and apply future Jewish law into what? The behavior of biblical figures. And we'll ask questions. How did this one do that if the halacha is that you're against that? How can you do it? Well, the answer is a very simple one. This is before those halachot were established. It's very simple. And therefore, they don't have to be guided by it. It's highly unlikely that a biblical figure here would observe halachot that were decreed, and not even in the Chumash, but are decreed by rabbinic law later on. But the Midrash seems to give substance to that way of thinking when the Midrash tells us on Pasuk in the beginning of Parshat Toldot. So if you look for a second at the beginning of Toldot, it's chapter 26. It's the last pasuk right before Sheni. Ekev asher shama Avraham bikoli, vayishmor mishmarti mitzvotai chukotai v'toratai. Is that what it says? Good. What pasuk is it? Pasuk he. Okay. Ekev asher shama Avraham bikoli. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yitzchak that, don't worry, everything's going to work out, no problem. Why is it going to work out? Based on the fact that your father, Avram, observed mitzvotai, chukotai, v'toratai. So the Gemara, the Medrash quotes the Gemara, that all of these represent different types of what? Of mitzvot. And one of the categories is even mitzvot midrabanan, such as, listen to this. This is the example which the Gemara gives. Eruv Tavshilin. That Avraham observed the mitzvah of Eruv Tavshilin. Yeah. So.
For a 2-day
yontif? For a 2-day yontif. Of course. Of course. Or a 1-day yontif. But. No. If it's Friday. I know. So Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot can't come out on the Sukkot. So maybe it was, he lived in Chutzlar at the time, he had the 2 days Yontif, so it was Thursday and Friday, and he had to cook for Yontif, and therefore he made it Erev Tavshilin. It's highly unlikely that he made it after. But everybody quotes that thing that Avraham observed. So here is going to be a classic illustration of a certain style of Parshanim, who try to read into the character behavior of the Avot based on halachic characteristics. So we're on page 3 in the Orach Chaim. Od Amrinin Begitten. The Gemara says in Masechet Gittin, Omer Ravashi, Omer Rebbe, Eved shenasa et bat chorin bifnei rabo asa'o ben chorin. The law is that an Eved is not permitted to marry within Am Yisrael. It's talking about an Eved Kana'ani. A Gentile slave, male or woman, is not permitted to marry. Just one, I think I told you this, a little step of background. The Rabbanan never allowed a Gentile presence to remain full-time in the house unless the person converted to some extent. So when you purchased a slave, in a Gentile slave from a slave market, you had to tell the slave, I'm giving you a choice. You had 1 year to do this. Either you convert, or I'm going to sell you to a Gentile. Okay, that's the choice. What advantage is there? So why would anybody say, I want to stay with you and convert? Because the halakha has protections against over abuse of what? Of a Gentile slave.
He was Jewish.
Even a Gentile slave. Even a Gentile slave.
So why is there an advantage to converting if the protection is applied
to because if you're sold to a Gentile, that protection is no longer going to be available. For example, if you punch your slave in the mouth and he loses a tooth, he becomes free. You break his arm, he becomes free. So there are guarantees that at least physical abuse will not take place. There are those who say that if you have some apply this following halacha only to an Eved Ivri, there are some who take it even to an Eved Kanani. If you have one steak for dinner and the rest of the family's eating chopped meat, the slave gets the steak, everybody else eats chopped meat. Though, why? Because the halacha knows that a slave is going to be taking advantage of and wants to look to protect it. Those protections don't exist in a Gentile home. So many slaves, and we are told of Tana'itic Tana'im who had slaves. Rabbi Eliezer had a very famous slave. And that one day he came to shul. So this slave is obligated to observe every mitzvah of the Torah, with the exception of mitzvot aseh shazman grama, just like the overwhelming majority of people seated in this room, and are not permitted to marry within the fold. Cannot. However, upon being freed by the master, they immerse in the mikveh a second time. Their Jewish identity is now confirmed completely. They leave what? They are a complete Jew or Jews. Complete Jew or Jews. So now the Gemara says that if a master allows his Gentile slave to marry a Jew or Jewess, with the recognition of the master, that is an act of what? That you freed him. That's implying that you freed him. Because otherwise, what would you not allow to happen? The slave is not permitted to have relations with a regular Jew or Jewess. So if it's under your nose, it's apparent that you have granted the slave the freedom. That slave becomes a full Jew and Jewess. And as a result, the marriage is valid.
Doesn't he have to leave?
No.
He could stay there?
I don't know, he's free, he can go wherever he wants.
But he could also stay in the house?
He can't, as a guest, but he's not a slave. He can become an Eved Ivri, but that is only for 6 years and so on and so forth. Yes.
Is that connected to Shifcha Harufa?
No, Shifcha Harufa, it's interesting. Yes, it is related. Not in exact this case. Shifcha Harufa is where somebody was owned by two people and one of them freed him. So this person is a half slave, half full Jew, and then had relations with another Jew. That's the issue. It's one of the most complicated cases around. Complicated case. Half Jew and half slave. It's on Shavuos night. They had nothing all night. They were up, so they come up with these. crazy cases. But this is a pasuk in the Chumash. V'hi shivcha necharefet le'ish. Read it last week in Parshas Kedoshim. But anyhow, so now, why does the Ora Chaim cite this Gemara? Why does this Ora Chaim cite the Gemara? That if a Gentile slave is married, marrying a Jewish woman, or a Jewish man marrying a Jewish woman who is a slave, she becomes free. Why is he talking about this? Because if Sarah, who owned Hagar, is giving permission for what? For Avram to have relations with her, what must have happened? She freed her. Hush, she's no longer a slave. So now that she... hold on, let's see what he's going to say now. That's exactly why he says this fits in perfectly into this. What's happening here?
How can you tell her to do what she wants since she's the slave? She's not the slave.
That's exactly what he's going to run through. Now, umifarshim sham, and we explained there in the Gemara in Gittin, mishum shemin hastam. Shichvera. Why do I assume that when this Gentile slave sleeps with a Jewish woman, or a Gentile woman sleeps with a Jewish man, that person was freed by his master? The master would not allow her to marry a free person, which is against halacha. The master is not going to violate the halacha and allow her to. V'hu hadin shivcha shehasi'a rabba leben chorin. A woman who is now being engaged to a Jewish man must be that the master freed her, because otherwise, what would have happened? He would never have allowed it to have relations, without having marriage. And the only way to marriage to take place is to have what? Freed her. Okay, so that's where he's getting to. How do we know that? Didn't she say, "I'm giving you Hagar as what?" Le'isha.
Yeah. But then he said.
So what's he going to be reading into the words? What do you think he's reading when he says Hine shivchateich biyadech? What is Avram saying? I never married her.
And what's this child?
I'll tell you what the child is. The halacha is, he's going to quote that a little later too, that any child conceived from a relationship between a Jew and a slave, you always follow the Jew in that circumstance. The child is a Jew under all circumstances. And in fact, I'll tell you a little secret, that it is... There are historians who argue about this. Everybody acknowledges that from the time of Ezra, everyone acknowledges, every brand of Judaism until the Reform movement decided to make a change, every brand of Judaism agreed that from the time of Ezra and onward, that's, you know, over 2,500 years ago, the mother dictates the Jewish identity of the child. Prior to Ezra, it is very possible that paternity determined Jewish identity, not maternity. Very, very possible. And we know why Ezra would have changed it. Because we are told in Nehemiah that the Jews were living with Nashim Nachriot. They were having lots of affairs with non-Jewish women. And they didn't care if they got pregnant. Why didn't they care they got pregnant? Because the child was Jewish. So Ezra made a change and said, I'm going to put this to an end. Why? How am I going to put this to an end? I'm going to say that from now on, Jewish identity depends on what? On the mother. So many believe that that was the case. Everyone, as I said, agrees that from Ezra's time and onward, never was patrilineal descent recognized. Everyone agrees to that. What happened prior to that is a debate amongst various scholars, various historians. There's a whole debate about that. So it is quite possible that when Avram is going to marry Sarah here, it doesn't have to be as a wife, and it doesn't have to be that she converted at all. That child is going to be considered what? With Hagar? Good. So now, let's go, please. Three lines from the bottom. Let me just get to the end of this. V'kosav Maharik. He quotes the Maharik in Yoredeya, Hilchos Avadim. Haba al Shivchato Asa Bat Chorin V'davka L'shem Ishut. When is it that what? The woman will acquire her freedom when she has a relationship with a Jewish person? Only if the nature of the relationship was for what purpose? For the purpose of marriage. But if he's just having a little shenanigans here, under those circumstances, she remains a Gentile. Next paragraph on the left side. With this, I'm going to proceed and analyze Avram and Hagar. Ki birot Sarah ki Hagar mizalzelet bichvoda. When Sarah noticed that Hagar is what? Ridiculing her. Ragza! She got very angry. Ve'ra'asha. And she screamed. Hayitachein ki shifcha tekal givirta. Is it possible that a slave is going to what? Ridicule her master? Umin hastam, Avraham hirgish badavar mima shemit ra'emet sara alav kodem hoda'at hadavar elav. Avram undoubtedly saw what was happening before Sarai came to him with her beef. V'hagam she'amra achakein, even though what? She reported it, ein zu derech hoda'ah. This is not to inform Avram that was happening, but rather what? Eladivrei hatalumot. Why is Sarah telling? Not because Avram didn't know about it, because she's angry at him that he stands around and doesn't defend her. V'hayidia kfar hikirashia, that he knew very well. He knew what's going on. V'dana bazeh bet chilukei dinim. And they were disagreeing about two things. Ha'alef, she'avram gila b'feirush she'ba'aleh l'shem yishut. Avraham didn't want to just marry a Gentile Mitzrit. So what did he want to do? He wanted to do it for the purpose of establishing what? Marriage. So if the intention was to establish marriage, what now happens to Hagar? She's freed. Leave out the next line, because he quoted a three-way machloikis, the Rif, the Rambam, and the Ramban. I'm not interested in that now. Vahabet, and the second thing is, shechashva b'da'ata Hagar thought, she yatsa l'cheirut. Hagar thought that she's a free woman now. Midin she'amru b'gitin she'katavnu b'samuch. Based on the law in Maseches Gittin that Avram probably taught her. That she's a free woman. That women can learn Torah too. Right? That what? Eved shenasa et bat chorin bifnei rabo yatsa lecheirut. A man who marries this Jewish woman in the presence of the master, and v'chein lehepech. Shivcha shenisayit leben chorim asa givirta bat chorin. Now that Sarah, was this al da'at Sarah, was this bifnei ba'ala? In front of her master? Yes. Who was her master? Hagar. Sarah was her master. Sarah allows Hagar to live as husband and wife with Hagar. She's freed. V'chein lehepech. Ubaze poka avdut mehagar. And with this, what happens to the slave state? It's gone. Ul is poka, means it's missing, it's gone, escape, ran away. Ulize sa'aka bifnei Abraham. Now I even understand why she is even more angry at Avram than anything we said up until now. Finish the sentence. Why is she angry at Avram? Because he decided to live with her as what? As husband and wife. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Ki alav tilunata. Because Avram is angry at him. Velo al Hagar. Ki Hagar kifi hadin. Hagar is acting appropriately based on the law. Shechoshevet bida'ata. Which she thinks that she acquired her freedom. Ein lahashima. There's no reason to assign blame to her. Abul chamasi alecha. I'm angry at you. She'ata maskim aldata shelo kifi hadin. You are agreeing with her that your relationship was that of what? Husband and wife. Husband and wife. So now, when Avram answers, Hine shifchateich biyadeich. What is Avram telling her, according to the Orachat? Sarah, calm down. I never had intention to live with her as what? As husband and wife. Only as a shifcha. So you'll ask me...
But then he wasn't allowed to...
That's going to be the next question. Then how did he necessarily agree to live with her? I have no clue to that. What he's going to do to defend that. But that's what she's saying. Therefore, her status still remains. The child indeed that will be born will be Jewish. That will undoubtedly happen. The child will be Jewish. I don't have to worry about that. And therefore he says, Asila katov beinaf, do whatever you want. She has not attained her freedom. She has acquired, she's not acquired anything. Avram, I lived with her as a shivcha. Yes. Yes. Correct. That's exactly.
Did anyone ever think that maybe he divorced her, like marry her and then change
what?
Her status somehow?
But isn't she the one that he went back to, they say?
Maybe he gave her this.
That, according, yes, later on.
Yeah, so maybe he really always had feelings, but he talked with a.
That excellent point. Excellent point. Yes, I will repeat it. That at the end of Parshat Chayei Sarah, after Sarah dies and is buried, the Torah tells us that Avram got remarried again. The Torah calls her Keturah. And they have lots of babies, 8 or 9 children. But Rashi and the Medrash say this is no Keturah, it's Hagar. Now, it is very possible that the reason why Avram saw, of all of the women in the world, because Avram really did consider her what? My wife. So now that this wife has died, I'm going to reestablish exclusive living with my second wife. It's very, very possible. We don't know if he dissolved it. We don't know. But I just want to tell you something. I guarantee you none of this happened. None of. But it's just interesting the way Parshanim try to what? Read halachot into the behavior of Avram and Sarah. Yes. What? According to, in this technical sense, yes, Yishmael is Jewish. Yes.
They were all Jewish. Jesus was Jewish.
Yes. He was Jewish. Yeah. Of course not. There weren't any. As Rambam says, before Kabbalat Torah, you went out for a walk, you came and met somebody in the market, and said, would you like to get married?
And that was it.
And then you would bring her home, have relations with her, and now you're married. That's what it means. That was until Kabbalat HaTorah. Then you have to give a ring, you have to get engaged, and go through marriage.
Carving
space, right. Sweetbreads, chopped liver, otherwise you're not married.
How do we get divorced?
Yeah. You send her away. That's all. Just send her.
It's a love affair, party and like Leah and Yaakov got married when it was supposed to be Rachel.
Yeah, says they made a party. Doesn't mean you don't make a party. But the way for marriage is just to live together, and that's it. Vayivieha ha'ohela. That's it.
Why can't we learn from here that women can learn Gemara?
Let's not go there. Women can learn Gemara without that. That's wrong. Good. Yeah. Then, just to conclude,
Page 5.
This is a commentary on Chumash. It's the name of the book, as I said on the top, is called the Tzror Hamor. He lived at the end of the 15th and beginning of the 16th century. His name is Rab Avraham Saba, the grandfather, that's his name. And he was a prolific writer. And Tzror Hamor is an almost good sections of Tanakh. And he writes, ולכן כתב בכאן ותיקח שרי אשת אברהם את הגר המצרית מארץ מארץ תמאה ומעם תמא. The Torah emphasized that Hagar wasn't just a plain woman, a shivcha. She came from that defiled nation and the defiled land. ועוד היות שפחתה והיא הייתה הגברת, when Sarai was the master, and she, Hagar, was the Shivcha. V'na'apochu. Suddenly it changed. What happened? Who, v'na'apoch, who, or he, v'shivcha. Ki tirosh givirta. She now what? Conquered the husband. She conquered Avram. So in her eyes, in Hagar's eyes, she looks at herself not only as competition. I am the primary one. I am the primary one. V'ha'ed alze, and witness that, v'tekal givirta be'eneha. Wow. And what happens? She, the former Hagar, looks at Sarai as cheaply. Why? Ad shechazra liot shivcha. Until she's put back in a place and say, you're not in command of this household. I am. Ukishiro asa Sarai harasha asta. And when he saw that Sarai did what she did, hitchila ledaber dvarim lo chein kineged Avraham chamasi alecha. Uchuvata bitsida ki befia amra ki hi asta hadavar. She claims, who claims? Sarai claimed that Hagar was doing what? Was ridiculing her. And now, vizehu anochi natati shivchati bechekecha. I have what? But Sarai said, I gave Hagar unto you. That was the whole discussion. Whose idea was all of this? It was Sarai's. And Sarai said, I gave Sarai, try to have a child. Ulai banei mimena. If that's the case, ma chata Avraham? Why is Avraham guilty in this entire scene? Aval hi amra, listen to what he says. Emet she'ani amarti bo'el shivchati. You're right, I said it. B'mi'ut da'ati. I wasn't thinking very well. And now he says something, he quotes a famous line offered by many Rishonim. Ki da'atan shel nashim kala. Women are very serious thinkers. Aval, I know, I don't like to use that line, but Rishayim did. Aval atar ra'ui shetomar lo achalel briti b'shivchati. What you should have said was, I am not going to lower myself, disgrace my covenant with God by living with whom? A shivcha. I can. Why did you say that, Mr. Avram? V'lochein yishpot Hashem b'ni u'b'necha. Why should God serve as a judge against you? Because you took up my idea. You should have said, me, the great Avram, is going to live with a shivcha? What are you, ripped? V'hu loheshiv la davar. Avraham did not respond a bloody word to her claims, be'anvusunoso, either because he was very humble, oh, lefi shirashu chatabasa, or what, you know what? She's right. I should have declined the offer to have relations with her, with what? With Hagar. Ve'ata hosif lachto. Now he added, ve'amar, hine shivchatech biyadech. Here is your servant back. Do whatever you please. Ve'aye rachminuto. Where is the compassion that Avram normally has for people? Ve'aye torato. Shelomad shekatuv ba lo tasgir eved el adonav. What does that mean?
Do not return a slave who has run away from him.
That's correct. Don't return a slave. Ubelo Torah haseichel yechayvuhu beinyon shebavon zenimsuru b'anabiyat mishmal. Even if the Torah didn't legislate this, you got to think about this logically. This is a powerful attack, incredibly powerful. The ra'ah od zot, and even worse, vata'aneha Sarah. Sarah afflicted her. Ha'im ze derech musar hatzadeket? She'avram amar la asilo hatov be'inecha likarer da'ata. Avram just wanted to what? Cool her off. V'hi atzta v'hitzlicha vata'aneha Sarah. And he can't understand how Sarah is reacting in such a way. So what we've seen are a couple of ways of understanding what this dialogue of Avram and Sarah is, and in relationship to Hagar, even an attempt to establish it on halachic grounds, and we will continue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Sarah, to Hagar, who runs away, and Rashi will claim not one, four different angels are going to speak to Hagar. Four different angels will speak to Hagar. Yes.
What was his last